kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with SBS Filipino on mobile, online, and on radio.
Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino sa mobile, online, at radio.
Nais naming kilalanin ang mga tradisyonal na nagmamay-ari ng lupain na kinatatayuan ng aming himpilan. Nagbibigay galang ang SBS Filipino sa mga Camarigal people ng Guringay Nation at mga nakatatandang miyembro ng kanilang komunidad noon at ngayon. Kinikilala rin namin ang mga tradisyonal na may-ari ng mga lupain ng Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders kung saan naroon ang aming mga tagapakinig. Ngayong Martes sa SBS Filipino.
Happy! Because that's the main thing that we are here na maging Australian citizen, ma-assimilate dun sa Australian way of life, yung ganyan ba. But you have to assimilate talaga. We also maintain our Filipino culture.
Natatandaan mo pa ba ang pakiramdam ng manumpa ka bilang Australian citizen? Pakinggan ang kwento ng pagbabaliktanaw ng ilan nating kababayan.
We Filipinos can be very disciplined if we want to, you know, very hardworking if we want to, and hopefully not just in sports, but in every facet that we delve into.
At kilalanin ang nag-iisang Pinay na tour guide sa 2026 Australian Open.
Too Asian to be Australian, but too white to be Filipino. You don't feel like you fit in.
At kwento ng isang Phil Aussie na iniwan ng corporate job at buhay sa Queensland kapalit ng pamumuhay sa kamigin sa Pilipinas, pakinggan. Magandang umaga, ilan lang yan sa mga tatalakayin sa programa ngayong 27 ng Enero taong 2026. Kasama ang iyong lingkod, Edinel Magtibay. At narito naman ang maiinit na balita sa oras na ito. Sa ulo ng mga balita, matinding heatwave patuloy na nararanasan sa South Australia at Victoria habang naka-alerto ang mga otoridad sa banta ng bushfire. Sa Pilipinas, isang pampasaherong barko lumubog sa bandang Basilan kung saan mahigit 18 na ang kumpirmadong nasawi. At mahigit 20,000 katao naging bagong Australian citizens matapos manumpa noong Australia Day. Sa detalye ng mga balita, patuloy ang matinding heatwave na nararanasan sa Victoria ngayong araw kung saan inaasahang aabot sa 49 degrees Celsius ang temperatura, lalo na sa Mildura, na posibleng maging pinakamainit na naitalang temperatura sa kasaysayan ng estado. Sa Melbourne naman, inaasahang mararanasan ang pinakamainit na araw mula pa noong Black Saturday bushfires noong 2009 na may maximum temperature na 44 degrees. Samantala, sa New South Wales, inaasahang aabot sa 47 degrees ang temperatura sa Broken Hill na isa ring posibleng bagong heat record. Naranasan din ng Australia ang record-breaking na init nitong Australia Day kung saan umabot ng 44.4 degrees Celsius ang temperatura sa Adelaide habang halos 50 degrees naman sa ilang bahagi ng estado. Dahil dito, mataas ang bushfire risk kasabay ng inaasahang panganib ng init, malakas na hangin at dry thunderstorms. Bagamat may mga bahagyang paglamig sa mga coastal area sa huling bahagi ng linggo, nananatiling delikado ang mainit na gabi na maaring magdulot ng matinding heat stress at dagdag na panganib ng sunog. Sa ibang balita, nasa kustudiya na ng Western Australian Police ang isang 31-anyos na lalaki matapos umanong maghagis ng posibleng pampasabog o explosive sa gitna ng isang mapayapang Invasion Day protest sa Perth kahapon. Ayon sa pulisya, ang naturang bagay ay naglalaman umano ng mga tornilyo, ball bearings at isang likidong hindi pa natutukoy at ipinahawatig ng suspect na ito ay isang explosive. Agad namang inilikas ang humigit kumulang 20,000 katao mula sa Perth CBD kahapon ng kahapon matapos mangamba ang pulisya sa isang posibleng mass casualty event. Sinabi ni WA Police Commissioner Carl Blank na patuloy ang forensic testing sa naturang likido habang nananatili sa kustodiya ng pulis ang nasabing suspect. Samantala, nananatiling matatag ang opposition leader na si Susan Lee sa gitna ng usap-usapang posibleng leadership challenge sa loob ng Liberal Party. Itinuturing na posibleng pumalit sa kanya si Angus Taylor at Andrew Hastie kasunod ng magulong mga linggo para sa partido. Nang tanungin kung tatakbo siyang muli sa pagbubukas ng parlamento sa susunod na linggo, sinabi ni Ginoong Taylor sa The Australian na dapat munang pagtuunan ng pansin ng partido ang pagkakaisa at ang mga isyu ng mga botante. Ayon pa sa ilang source, maaring magkaroon ng leadership spill sa unang bahagi ng Pebrero. Ngunit itinanggi ito ni Ms. Lee at iginigiit na may tiwala siya sa kanyang team at mananatili siya sa pwesto. Balita mula sa Pilipinas, isang pampasaherong barko na may sakay na mahigit 340 na pasahero ang lumubog madaling araw ng Lunes sa karagatan ng Southern Philippines, partikular na sa Basilan, ayon sa Philippine Coast Guard. Hindi bababa sa 18 katawang nasawi habang 10 pa ang naiulat na nawawala. Patuloy naman ang search and rescue operations. Ayon kay Coast Guard spokesperson Noemi Kayabyab, ibinaba sa 344 ang opisyal na bilang ng pasahero matapos matuklasang may ilang mga nakalimutan lista sa manifest na hindi sakay ng barko. Nagpadala din ng distress signal ang MV Tricia Kirsten 3 bandang 1:50 ng madaling araw, mahigit 4 na oras matapos umalis sa Port of Zamboanga City. Lumubog ang barko humigit kumulang 5 kilometro silangan ng Balukbaluk Island sa lalawigan ng Basilan. Iniimbestigahan pa ang sanhi ng paglubog habang iginiit ng Coast Guard na hindi overloaded ang naturang barko. Mahigit 20,000 mula sa mahigit 150 na bansa ang naging Australian citizens noong January 26 matapos ang 325 na citizenship ceremonies na ginanap sa buong bansa. Ayon sa Australian Bureau of Statistics, halos isang katlo o one-third ng populasyon ng Australia o tinatayang 8.6 milyong katao ay ipinanganak sa ibang bansa, patunay ng pagiging isa ng Australia sa pinaka-multikultural na bansa sa mundo. At sa lagay ng panahon ngayong araw ng Martes, sa Perth maaraw at 25 degrees Celsius. Maaraw din sa Adelaide at 42 degrees. Sa Melbourne, mainit at 44 degrees Celsius. Sa Hobart, maaraw din at 34 degrees Celsius. Maaraw din sa Canberra at 36 degrees. Sa Sydney, bahagyang maulap at 28 degrees Celsius. Sa Brisbane naman, maulap din at 31 degrees. Sa Cairns, may mga pag-ulan at posibleng thunderstorms at 30 degrees Celsius. Habang sa Darwin, may mga pag-ulan at thunderstorms at 31 degrees Celsius. At yan ang kabuuan ng mga balita sa oras na ito. Abangan naman sa ikalawang bahagi ng ating programa ang ating mga talakayan at iba pang mga panayam. Magandang umaga mga kababayan, dire-dire-diretso tayo sa ating programa ngayong Martes ng umaga, 27 ng Enero taong 2026. At kayo patuloy na nakikinig sa SBS Filipino kasama ang iyong lingkod, Edinel Magtibay. Kumusta po kayong lahat? Kumusta ang ating mga kababayang nagbabalik sa kani-kanilang mga trabaho matapos ang long weekend? Sa mga nakasama ang kanilang mga pamilya o kaya naman ay nagtrabaho din, ako. Sana naman po ay nakakuha pa rin kayo ng kahit paano ay pahinga doon sa mga nagdaang araw. Ano. At syempre sa mga nasa lugar na tinatamaan ngayon ng matinding heat wave. Naku, ingat-ingat po. Stay cool, hydrated, at saka alerto din. Dahil sinasabi nga sa ulat natin kanina, no, may mga panganib pa rin ng bushfire. At hindi lang bushfire, ano, yung heat stress na tinatawag at yung iba't iba pang mga medical conditions na pwedeng makuha tuwing tag-init, yan ay dapat din nating bantayan. Kaya kung kayo nandun sa mga lugar na umaabot na ng 35 and above, hanggang 44, 49 pa nga, ano, dun sa ilang bahagi ng Melbourne at sa Adelaide, kahapon sa South Australia, no, napakainit din. Nakukumusta po kayo? I-share nyo naman ang inyong mga tips dyan para manatiling ligtas and fresh pa rin, lalo na ngayong panahon ng tag-init. Ano? Medyo mahaba-haba pa ang summer season, pero sana ay alerto din ang lahat sa pabago-bagong panahon. And of course, kung meron pong mga ibinibigay din na abiso ng paglikas, lalo na dun sa mga area na malapit sa mga bushfire zones o yung maaring magkaroon ng mga malawakang sunog, naku, pakinggan po ang abiso. At lagi rin po ninyong ihanda ang inyong mga go bags, yung mga emergency kits ninyo, at syempre ang mga hotlines po para sa mga emergencies. Again, 000 po, pinakamadaling tawag ninyo sa panahon ng mga emergency. And meron din pong kanya-kanyang hotlines ang bawat estado para naman sa mga bushfires, bushfire incident. Kaya sana ay manatiling ligtas ang lahat. At ngayon po sa ating programa, nako, marami tayong mga tatalakayin. Ibabahagi natin sa inyo ang kuwento ng ating mga kababayan na nakapag citizen oath taking na, citizenship, ano? Pero ito, yung mga kababayan natin ito, yung mga ilang taon na, tatlong dekada na or mahigit pa na nandito sa Australia. Magbabalik-tanaw lang tayo doon sa kanilang mga naging karanasan kung kumusta ba ang naging pakiramdam nila at ano bang pinagkaiba ng kanilang panunumpa noon bilang Australian citizen nung mga panahon, siguro mga 80s or 90s, kumpara ngayon, ano, sa mga bagong nanumpa na mga Australian. At syempre, ang kwento din ng ilan sa mga kababayan natin na nagbibigay ng kanilang mga pahayag kung gaano sila nagpapasalamat sa mga oportunidad na nakuha nila dito sa Australia. So abangan po ninyo yan. At bahagi din po ng magiging programa natin ngayon ang panayam ni Martin Tuanyo sa isang Pinay na tour guide sa Australian Open. So itong kanyang panayam po, no, hindi lang siya basta tour guide, marami din siyang iba't ibang racket, kaya naman malalaman natin kung ano nga ba yung mga criteria, so ano nga ba yung mga kailangan para mapasok yung mga ganitong klase ng trabaho at bakit ito ang napili niya. Ganun din ang isa pang interesting po na kwento ng isa nating kababayan, isang Phil Aussie na diver, free diver, at ano rin siya, no, established na rin ang kanyang buhay dito sa Queensland, pero nag-decide siya na manirahan sa Camiguin. Bakit kaya? O ikaw ba? Kung ikaw ba ay nanumpa na at nakuha mo na ang iyong citizenship dito sa Australia at na-enjoy mo na ang buhay ng pagiging Aussie, ikaw ba ay makukumpinsi pang manirahan sa Pilipinas? Nako, isa yan sa malaking tanong, ano, sa ating mga kababayan. Kaya nga marami pa rin mga nag-de-debate kung sila ba ay magre-retiro sa Pilipinas o kaya naman ay dito sa Australia. Marami tayong mga kababayan ang sumasagot sa ating Facebook page. Kung kayo po gusto po ninyong makibahagi sa mga tanong din natin, ano, kung saan nyo gustong mag-retiro, pwede nyo po yung i-post or pwede nyo po yung ibahaging komento sa, ano, sa ating Facebook page. Madalas or karamihan po sa mga nagiging sagot ng ating mga kababayan sa ating katanungan kapag tinatanong sila kung saan mo gustong mag-retire, ay sinasabi nila for health reasons or para dun sa mga medical benefits, gugustuhin nila ang Australia. Pero may mga nagsasabi naman na para sa pamilya, yung saya na dulot na nandun ka sa inyong probinsya o nasa inyong lugar, pinipili naman nila ang Pilipinas. So nandoon yung magkahati, ano, yung puso nila ay nananatili sa Pilipinas kahit na yung mga opportunities naman ay dito nila nakukuha sa Australia. Sabi nga ni Attorney Emil Lonasco, no, ang kanyang komento, pag sa Pilipinas ka nagkasakit, nako, mauubos ang pera mo, wala kang pera at maghihintay ka na lang, nako, madeds, yun daw ang kanyang pananaw. At sabi naman ni Raymond Sepson, depende na rin kung saan ka masaya. Habang sabi ni Rina Mani, ang Australia, wala daw pila kung may mga tinatanggap sa ospital at no question about money. Pero ayon dun sa iba, may mga karanasan, ano, sa pagpunta sa mga emergency, naku, meron pa rin namang mga pumipila sa pag may mga kailangan silang pang emergency, kasi depende sa magiging prioridad ng ospital o kung ano yung inyong kalagayan. Sabi naman ni Leo Tabag, mas masaya sa Pilipinas kung may ipon ka. Ayan. At marami pa rin ang mga nagtatanong, ano, na parang Gusto nilang umuwi ng Pilipinas pero nag-aalala sila dahil yung mga pension or yung mga benefits nila na nakukuha mula sa Centrelink ay posibleng hindi nila madala or hindi nila ma-enjoy habang nasa Pilipinas sila at may posibilidad pang mawala. Naku, sa mga susunod na araw tatalakayan din natin yan ano, at bibigyan natin kayo ng linaw ano-ano nga ba ang mga posibleng mangyari sa inyong mga benepisyo kapag matagal kayong wala sa Australia or inisip ninyong mag for good sa labas ng bansa, particular na sa Pilipinas. Nako, pwede po nating ihatid yan. At kung may mga tanong pa rin kayo na mga ganyan, ano, i-comment nyo lang, i-message nyo lang sa amin dito sa SBS Filipino at hahanapin natin ang mga kasagutan at aalamin natin ang proseso sa mga susunod nating paano ba segments. Yan po ay tuwing Huwebes naman. Kasama ninyo ako saka si TJ Correa po ang naghahatid din ng segment na yan para sa programa. At madami pang mga nagkomento dito, daang-daang comments ano ang ibinahagi ng ating mga kababayan. Pero ikaw na nakikinig sa atin ngayon, nako, Australian citizen ka man ngayon o nagpaplano or isa rin yan sa Australian dream mo, tingin mo pagdating ng retirement age, ano ang iyong magiging desisyon? Ako, pwede nyo ibahagi pa yan sa amin sa ating programa. At kung hindi nyo pa kami nalalike sa ating Facebook page, SBS Filipino. At ang ating Instagram naman, ganun din, at SBS Filipino. Sa ating website, puntahan sbs.com.au/Filipino. Sa ating pagbabalik, pakinggan po natin ang kwento ng isang kababayan natin o isang Filipina na natatanging Pinay na tour guide sa Australian Open. Sa mga tennis fans dyan, napatuloy na nag-aabang ng maraming mga updates or mga naging kaganapan over the past few days, ay patuloy pong tumutok at makinig dito sa ating programa. Lahat po ng yan, makalipas lamang ang ilang awitin at paalala. Tuloy-tuloy po tayo sa ating mga hatid na mga talakayan at mga panayam. Ang oras po natin, 10:21 na ng umaga dito po sa Sydney. Magandang-magandang umaga at maraming salamat pong muli sa inyong patuloy na pagtutok. Ngayon naman, matapos ninyong makiswing sa awitin ni Shawi, ay makiswing naman tayo sa mga kaganapan sa Australian Open. Yan. At kilalanin po natin ang kaisa-isang Filipino tour guide sa 2026 Australian Open. Ano kaya ang kanyang mga karanasan at mga hindi malilimutang pangyayari sa isa sa pinakamalaking sporting event sa Melbourne? Pakinggan po ang kanyang kwento kasama si Martin Tuanyo.
My name is Thea. I currently am with the Australian Open. I'm doing behind the scenes tours for partners and for international guests. I also do front of house from Her Majesty's Theatre that currently shows MJ the Musical. I also do puppy yoga on the side. if my puppy yoga company asks me to cover some shifts on Sundays. Technically, I'm a casual worker, so I'm on all around, probably they would say Jane of all trades, if not Jack for all trades. So I'm doing a lot of things, but it's an exciting time to be here in Melbourne. There's just so many opportunities to explore and to just use my talents and be able to do the things that I love to do.
Sa napapansin ko ngayon, Thea, no, part of your personality or part of your job, ang malaking bagay o isa sa mga puhunan mo is yung boses mo.
Ay, salamat.
Diba? Isa rin ba talaga to sa parang naisip mo na, ah, okay, kaya kong puhunanan itong boses ko. Kaya kong magi siyang career, gagawin ko siyang work.
Thank you for telling me that. I've been asked to do voiceovers for free in the theater back in the Philippines and then for my company. But I never really thought of doing it as a career, like being an announcer or a newscaster. I was told that I can be one, but I was just probably very intimidated as well and limited by my looks, because in the Philippines you have to be beautiful and stuff. So I felt like I did not have enough of a talent to explore that industry or profession. But now here in Australia, I've been blessed to be doing front of house, to doing behind the scenes tours. I never really thought that my voice was like my leverage to do all of those things, because I feel like connecting with people and being able to give them the best experience that they can, regardless of your voice, is something that that I need to have, you know, in order to get those jobs.
And so, speaking of experience na nababanggit mo nga part ka ng Australian Open.
Yes,
is this your first year na maging part ng Australian Open?
No, this is my second year. So last year, I told my boss, I was just watching the tennis back in the Philippines from the television, whether it's AO, whether it's Wimbledon, it's Roland Garros. I just really have that passion for tennis as a fan, not as a player. And then when I moved to Australia and was in the AO crowd, I saw how happy it is. The vibe is just so positive. So from that time on, I manifested and I told myself, I want to be part of the Australian Open. So the universe connived with my manifestation and made me meet my behind-the-scenes tour manager right now in tennis at the match as well. So he is working as my front of house supervisor at the Majesty's Theater, where I am working as a front of house usher, and then also at the tennis. So it's just like having all of these aligned for me. I just manifested it like 2 years ago that I wanted to be part of the Australian Open. I sent my email or application in the Australian Open website back in 2024. I did not get anything, no reply or whatever. So I'm like, maybe not for me. And then after a few months, I joined the theater. I joined Her Majesty's Theater, worked there for a few months as an usher. And then I found someone with an AO shoes and uniform. I'm like, oh, are you working for the Australian Open? That's like a really good gig. And then I want to be part of it, I said to her. And then she said, well, why don't you ask this person? Maybe he can connect you with someone. And then to cut the long story short, he got me as a tour guide last year. And then after the entire AO season, he told me that he got a lot of good feedback about my performance as a tour guide. And then even my colleagues who have been doing the tours for quite some time, they said that I'm doing a really good job with the behind the scenes tour. So I'm like, oh, thank you guys.
Na-enjoy mo yung ginagawa mo.
Yeah. Yeah.
mahalaga siya sa mga lahat ng ginagawa mo. Sinabi mo kanina, Jane of all shades ka. So, mahalaga siya na nandun definitely yung fulfillment and enjoyment.
Definitely. If a job, if something that you're working on is what you love to do, considering it as a job is a secondary thing. Like if you're doing it with a passion, definitely no work or no job is perfect. No organization is perfect. But if you love what you're doing, you will surpass, you know, the challenges. You will let go and look past those challenges and consider it as a positive thing. Consider it as a learning, you know, learning process, and just focus on the positives, and you don't feel like you're dragging yourself to work. That's what I feel with doing the Australian Open behind the scenes tour, and even the ushering or the front of house gig at Her Majesty's Theatre. There would be times when we encounter impossible patrons or impossible audience members, but you know, I still love doing it every night. I still love going to the theater even like 2 hours before my shift. And yeah, even if my body is physically tired, my soul and my brain, my head is happy doing a job and like finishing it. Okay, I will not think about it the next day. So yeah, it's such a wonderful, wonderful blessing and experience for me to do things that I love to do and I don't mind doing.
I'm just curious, Thea, with this topic na pinag-uusapan natin yung Australian Open, what's your most unforgettable moment sa pagtutur mo sa Australian Open?
Ooh, there's a lot, actually. Probably when I toured the grandson of a Grand Slam winner from the 1970s. They were from the U.S., and they just wanted to do the behind-the-scenes tour just so they can see the name of their mom on the wall. And it was my first time, and I didn't know where that wall was. And I had to like compensate for, it's something that I didn't know, of course, because it was my first year. And after that tour, I tried to look for that wall and look for that name. It wasn't there. So for me, parang, did I let them down? But the feedback from them was that it was a lovely tour. Even if they weren't able to accomplish what they really wanted to do, it was still a good experience for them based from the email that they sent them. And for me, it was super humbling, and it was such a good feeling that I was able to give that holistic, beautiful experience. So, yeah, but there were a lot of, you know, unforgettable things from seeing Alcaraz face to face at the Walk of Champions, to saying hello to Jannik Sinner, to Alex, to whoever. Like, it's my, I would call them with their first names, and you know, like not even using my phone and taking a selfie, being very cool about it. And it's all just in my head right now as a core memory of the Australian Open. Such a beautiful experience.
Nabanggit mo kanina si Alex Ayala. Ano pakiramdam na may Pinoy representation sa Australian Open main draw?
Super proud. Like, I'm having goosebumps right now that there is someone who represents herself very, very well as a Filipino. You know, how she talks, how she presents herself, her being professional on court. And yeah, talaga nakaka-proud lang that there's someone like that. And people from around the world can see, this is the kind of people, that these are how Filipinos are. Because even in my job in the match, they have this notion of how Filipinos are because of how they see me. So with Alex being in the international scene and they see how Alex conducts herself, I'm like, I hope that people around the world can see that we are that kind of people. You know, that's how decent we are. That's how good we talk. And yeah, it's just very humbling and nakaka-proud. Yun yung pinaka nagana sa akin, nakaka-proud siya.
Do you think since nasimulan ni Alex na irepresenta ang Pilipinas sa tennis scene, mm-hmm. tingin mo mas lalaki na yung tennis sa atin?
I hope so. I hope so. And I think so, you know, judging from what social media, you know, represents, like a lot of kids are now training to be good tennis players, or even hopefully not just tennis, but, you know, more of sports like swimming, a lot of other sports that we can excel at, and not just, you know, it being a fad. We Filipinos can be very disciplined if we want to, you know, very hardworking if we want to, and hopefully not just in sports, but in every facet that we delve into, you know, like from the workforce to the music industry to wherever. We're so talented, and Australians always think that if you're a Filipino, you can sing well, you can dance well, you can do everything well. So, yeah, I think that's a start.
Ano ang pakiramdam, Thea, na hindi ko alam kung ikaw lang yung Filipino na nag-tour guide sa Australian Open, but you are a representation of a Filipino. Sa Australian Open, ano ang pakiramdam nung ganong pag-iisip?
Very humbling and very grateful. Yes, I am the only Filipino, and I am the smallest, the shortest among all the tour guides. It's very humbling because all of them are native English-speaking people. You know, like, sorry, they speak English as their native tongue. Ako, I have to process from Tagalog to English. And sometimes, like, some people have their accent, and I don't think I can have the luxury of time to still pronounce it the Australian way. I told myself that, you know, I want to be authentic. I want to be the best that I can be as a Filipino. And when they recognize that I'm a Filipino with how I talk, it's such a wonderful thing that, I was able to make someone know that there is this country called the Philippines, you know, and then there's this someone from the Philippines who is doing this tour, who was given the opportunity to go under the Rod Laver Arena, be able to see these professional players face-to-face, close and personal. Proud.
Nagbabalik tayo sa ating programa dito pa rin sa SBS Filipino. At sa atin namang bahagi na ito ng programa, atin namang ihahatid ang ilan sa mga kwento ng ating mga kababayan. Mahigit 3 dekada na ang lumipas mula nang unang dumating sa Australia ang ilan sa mga Pilipino. Ipon at matinding pananabik sa mas maayos na kinabukasan. Ngayon sila ay mga ganap ng Australian citizens. May mga boses, may karapatan at may maraming oportunidad sa bansang tinatawag nila ngayong bagong tahanan. At sa loob ng higit 20 taon, masayang natatamasa ni Benita Clark ang mga pribilehiyo ng pagiging isang Australian.
Friendly. Pero kayo, ano ang inapasabi sa Australia? Yes, actually, lahat. We were our mindset that time is to have to start a family. As working as a OFW or an overseas seafarer, it's really hard to start a family, no? Pero yung time na magkasama kami, with our kids, growing up with them, sa pinapasalamat namin at isa sa mga pribilehiyo at benefits na nakukuha namin. I mean, na natamasa namin dito sa Australia. Kaya nagpapasalamat kami sa opportunity na ibinigay din ng bansa nito. Kaya we will say we are really blessed of what we have right now.
Inyo pong napakinggan ang tinig ni Chef Ben Roquero, isa rin sa mga Pilipinong nagpapasalamat sa mga oportunidad na kanyang nakuha dito sa Australia dahil nadala ang kanyang buong pamilya at nagkaroon na rin ng sariling negosyo. Pakinggan naman natin ang naging pahayag ni Miss Benita Clark.
Gano'ng katagal na po kayo dito sa Australia?
It's been a long while. It's like maybe 26 years already. 26 years. I got a permanent residence first. And then after 2 years, and then I got the citizenship. Yes. And there's no examination, no nothing. After 2 years, that's it. And then you have to fill out the form, and that's it. Not like before now. My gosh, it's too many things. I think you have to pass the English test or whatever. I don't know. But lucky we are.
Ano naman po yung best thing ng pagiging Australian citizen para sa inyo?
You can vote. The same thing. A permanent, you cannot vote. Citizenship, you can vote. That's only the difference. Same thing. I think it's the same thing. Life and everything. Because in permanent resident, you can get everything. Same thing with permanent residence, you can get everything. Citizenship, it's the same thing. Only the thing is that voting. You can vote.
At ayon naman kay Lilia Tolentino, bagaman nagkaroon ng ilang mga pagsubok at nakaranas din ng mga diskriminasyon, wala siyang pagsisisi sa kanyang naging desisyon na maging isang Australian citizen.
It's been over 30 years ago. So I cannot remember if you have to be here living permanently for 12 months. No break, so during that time you can't go to the Philippines for a vacation. You have to be here continuously for 12 months before you apply for that citizenship. And as I told you before, the question would be, what will be the difference when you become a citizen? So the answer would be primarily just that you can vote. You'll be able to vote once you become a citizen. And you know how it is here. It is required that you vote during election time. So nowadays, I don't know how it goes. I don't know how many years you have to be living permanently, continuously before you apply for the citizenship. I haven't had any relatives who came over after that 34 years. So I cannot.
But being an Australian citizen, ano po yung pinaka-enjoy niyo so far?
So far. You know, ang first impression ko sa Australia is the friendliness din ng people. I had some bad experiences with racism when I first came in. I was shouted at. And then I had some, bad words spoken at me that time. But still, during my time when I needed some help because I was sick when I got here. The support was just immense. And probably that community support was the one that sustained me. And I enjoyed I love being Australian. But I, of course, still a very Filipino at heart.
At malayo man sa mga karanasan ng mga nag-a-apply ng citizenship ngayon, ibinahagi rin ni Mary Esteban mula sa New South Wales na mahalagang mamuhay ang mga nasa Australia na naaayon sa kultura at batas ng bansa. Pero sa likod nito, hindi niya nakakalimutan ang pagiging Pilipino.
Do you remember paano po kayo naging Australian citizen?
Okay. That was like because you came here 1987. That was 37 years ago. And then I think after 2 years now we've been here, kasi inano kami ng in-sponsor kami ng brother ko, brother-in-law actually. Yep, and then finally na nandito na kami sa Australia 1987. And then I think after 2 years nag-apply kami ng citizenship. Ayun lang, wala nang ano, mga interviews or examinations. We just applied and they called us for taking na. That was very easy before. Mag-ano ng Australian citizenship.
Ano po pakiramdam niyo nung naging Australian citizen na kayo?
Oh, of course, happy. Because that's the main thing that we are here na maging Australian citizen, ma-assimilate dun sa Australian way of life, yung ganyan ba. Although hindi rin naman mahirap, coming from a new culture, coming to a new culture, syempre mahirap din. You have to assimilate talaga na to live like hindi naman Australian way, but we also maintain our Filipino culture na katulad nito. Merong mga traditional na mga Filipino tradition. Kaya so glad na I'm happy. I have no regrets coming to Australia. Pero after so many years, nag-dual citizen din ako. Kaya dual citizen, kaya proud Filipino and proud Australian.
Ayon sa Australian Bureau of Statistics, halos isang katlo o one-third ng populasyon ng Australia ay pinanganak sa ibang bansa. At malaking bahagi dito ay mga migranteng tulad ng ating mga kababayan na unti-unting nag-aambag na sa ekonomiya, komunidad at kultura ng bansa. 3 dekada na ng pagsisikap o mahigit pa ng pagtsatsaga at pag-asa ang dala ng ating mga kababayan. At para sa maraming Pilipino, ang pagiging Australian citizen ay hindi lamang dokumento, kundi pagyakap sa panibagong tahanan na may seguridad at oportunidad. Sa ating pagbabalik, kwento naman ng isang Aussie, Phil Aussie, na nagnais na pumunta at manirahan sa Pilipinas at talikuran ang kanyang buhay sa Australia. Kilalanin si Zoe Paler sa ating pagbabalik makalipas ang ilang paalala. Sa huling bahagi ng ating programa dito sa SBS Filipino, isang Phil Aussie ang iniwan ng corporate job at buhay sa Queensland kapalit ng pamumuhay sa Kamigin. Dito niya nahanap ang sarili sa isla kung saan siya pinanganak at sinimulan ang pagmamahal sa free diving at animal advocacy. Narito ang buong kwento at panayam ni Nikki Gregorio.
I live just to the right of me is a volcano. Like my morning view, like I have my coffee and I look out there and it's a volcano. And then to the left of me is the ocean and I'm looking at a white sandbar and it's like just either side of me. So it's beautiful. It's little. Not everyone can live here.
Pinanganak sa Camiguin, lumaki sa Australia, at bumalik at permanente nang nakatira sa Camiguin. Yan ang naging landas ng free diver at animal advocate na si Zoe Pallier patungo sa isang simple, mapayapa at tahimik na buhay.
I was born in the Philippines, in Camiguin Island, and then left when I was like 4 or 5 years old. My parents took me back to Australia. So my dad's Australian, my mom's Filipina. Went back to Australia for my education. And then my entire childhood, I would go back to Camiguin for Christmas for like 6 to 8 weeks during the Christmas holidays. So I still kept that like connection to Camiguin, especially.
Ah, I see. So let's just go back, I guess, to your stay here in Australia. So growing up, because you mentioned that your dad is Australian, but your mom is Filipino. Because with biracial kids, we always get this, they always say that there was a confusion growing up. Like, who am I? Who am I really? Where do I fit in? Did you have that? Did you grow up with that as well?
1,000%. It was too Asian to be Australian, but too white to be Filipino. And then like my family in the Philippines would be like, prop me up, being like this light skinned little girl. And like, of course it's nice. You feel a bit spoiled, but at the same time, you don't feel like you fit in. Like it was very othering. You know, I was a kid and like people would take pictures of me like at waterfalls because I'm a little bit different. And it's like, at that age, you just want to fit in. You don't want to be a little bit different. You want to be the same as your cousins or your neighbors. And then in Australia, it can be brutal. it can be very brutal, but I had a good group of friends. But it was funny because I tried really hard to bury the Asianness, the Filipino-ness of me. I feel like there were some Filipinos that I grew up around that like kept their Filipino friends and they kind of stuck in their Filipino circle. I was like, I'm going to fit in. I'm going to be white. Like, mom, please don't make me Filipino food for school. I'm going to eat a sandwich. my mom has like a very big community of like Filipinos that, you know, she would spend her weekends with and party and karaoke. And they have like Filipino daughters or half Filipino daughters. And I would see them be like, they're so much more like proud to be Filipina. Or they kind of embraced it more. And that was when I started to like really feel that guilt. And it wasn't until like, I guess my early 20s where I was like, yeah, I'm Filipino. What of it? Like,
it was in your late 20s that you felt the urge to return, to go back to Camiguin. So what was it? Because you said you were in corporate. What made you decide to do that?
I mean, I left corporate to travel. So there was a big part of me that wanted to just escape the 9 to 5 that everyone wants to escape from. But I fell into opportunities that let me do that. I know I'm very lucky. Like not everyone can quit their 9 to 5 and backpack for 5 years and make that work. I worked remotely in marketing still. It wasn't a lot, but it allowed me to travel Southeast Asia and mostly the Philippines. Cause you know, the dollar. but then after 5.5 years of travel, I got burnout. So I was tired of moving around and I craved community. I guess I've always craved community from a young age. But I craved settling down and having friends and being able to like get coffee with my best friend just down the road, that kind of thing. And for so long, like 5.5 years, I wasn't able to do that. You make friends traveling and you could be the best of friends for a week and never see them again. So there was such a huge part of me that just wanted to settle down. And then I was like, okay, well, where can I do that? Cause I don't want to settle back in Australia. Like I love Australia. Don't get me wrong. My parents are still there. I still have dogs there. It's still one of my homes, but it wasn't what I was looking for. And I wanted, that simple life. I didn't want to live for the weekend. And you know, wait for my annual leave to experience life. So I was like, okay, I'm half Filipina. I still have family in Camiguin. I'm biased, but the most beautiful island. I was like, okay, this is where I'm going to settle down.
what is the difference between living there and living here in Australia? Because I'm sure the disparity is huge, but what made coming in more attractive?
For me, it's definitely like the laid back style of living here. So my dad was the same. So my dad grew up in Adelaide and then like lived all across Australia. He's very, very Australian. But he came to Kamigan in the early 90s and he immediately fell in love with it and said it was like living in the 60s and the 70s all over again. Like it was just super laid back. Not a lot has changed from the early 90s to now. We might have like a 4-lane highway around the entire island, but I can still drive around the island in 2 hours. I live just to the right of me is a volcano. Like my morning view, like I have my coffee and I look out there and it's a volcano. And then to the left of me is the ocean and I'm looking at a white sandbar and it's like just either side of me. So it's beautiful. It's little. Not everyone can live here. Like, that's for sure. You have to be comfortable slowing down, and accepting that, like, it might take you all day to do your groceries because you can't just go to Woolies or Coles and get everything you need. I need to go to 10 different stores and the market, and there's one guy that makes bread. And so it's being comfortable with that. And then really embracing it. So I like the slow living. I like being able to walk to work in, I mean, I work from home, but my boyfriend runs the dive shop, so I can walk there in 10 minutes and then walk along the beach every day and swim every day. And it's just, yeah. And Australia is beautiful, don't get me wrong, but you still have to work, the 9 to 5, to make ends meet. And okay, you can go to the beach on the weekend, but I can go to the beach in the mornings and the afternoons and
Along with moving to come again, you found free diving.
yeah, so it was when I was backpacking, and obviously like going around all the islands and snorkeling and like this curiosity, like I just wanted to go a bit deeper and like you want to be able to swim with the turtles, but they're a few meters deep, so it felt like just not enough being able to swim on the surface. And then I started seeing more on like social media, people free diving. I was like, oh, what's that? So I did my beginner's free diving course and fell in love with it. So for me, like, yeah, it's the turtles and the ocean and everything, but it's also the quiet. Like, it's so quiet. My mind is quiet. The only thing that you're focused on is like your body and being down there and your breath. And yeah, so that's how I started. But yeah, now I'm a 36 meter diver, which is exciting. So to start with, like I wanted to go 3 meters to see turtles, and now I go 36 meters and see nothing. Not all free divers live for the number. There's some that definitely do. I don't live for it, but it's definitely a motivator. So it's exciting every time I reach a new PB. And yeah, it's all about the peace and just seeing what my body can do. And it's so funny because growing up, like I was not athletic at all. I would skip every PE class I could. And then, like, I'm still not going to run, but I'll dive.
Maybe we can go to your other passion,
Yes.
which is barcada. So, can you tell me more about your compassion for street dogs, street animals, and wanting to do this foundation as well for them?
Yeah. So I always wanted to. Like I mentioned, I grew up between Australia and the Philippines, in Kamigan. So in Australia, we treat our pets like family. I literally have a tattoo of my dog and another one here and my cat on the back of my arm. Like my pets are my life. And then I remember being a kid and coming back to Kamigan and just seeing like the street dogs in the most horrific conditions and seeing some really awful abuse. Like I won't go into it, but like I saw some pretty harrowing things that made me want to do something about it. My dad taught me to love animals, especially dogs. I had my first Doberman when I was like 2 years old. And I've had dogs my entire life growing up. I'm an only child, so they were like proxy siblings to me. So I have this like huge love for dogs, and then cats, that came later in life. And then I actually started Barcada before I moved to Kamigan full time. So I was traveling and spending more time in Kamigan than I ever had growing up. So I'd be there every few months or so. And I met a girl in Bacolod, and so her name is Malu. She runs Portion Project, and she is one of my like biggest inspirations. And she is also in her like mid late 30s, I think. And just one girl doing it all. She has one of the biggest shelters in the Philippines, in Bacolod and Manila. And so I got talking to her in Bacolod, and I was like, "How'd you start? How'd you do it? Like, I just feel like there's no like right time." And she's like, "There's never a right time to start a not-for-profit. This is going to drain you. Like, but if you're passionate about it, then just start." So like a month after having that conversation with her, I rescued some puppies, and that was it. And to begin with, I was just doing it out of like my family home in Cemegan. And then I had people like cousins that lived in the home and caretakers. So when I wasn't there, they helped. And my yaya, so like my nanny growing up, she also helped me like rehabilitate the dogs and everything. And it became like a family effort. And then a great uncle of mine, so he was like my grandfather, he had some land in Cemegan, and he gave me about 1,000 square meters to fence and start my shelter.
You have so much affinity for animals, and then you see the abuse, and then you just do what you can. Like, how do you push through?
So there's this concept in like healthcare workers and people in like shelters and stuff called compassion fatigue. And it can get to you where it's actually the opposite. It breaks you to a point where you stop caring, or not stop caring, but you don't have the like capacity within yourself to care as much anymore. And I've always tried to avoid that. And the best way that I can do it is not rescuing every single dog that I see. So like my island, it's very small. It's like 64 kilometers around the entire thing, but it's full of dogs. And if I was going to rescue every single one of them, like I'd absolutely get compassion fatigue. So it's really for me like the most like dire straits. Like if I see a dog, I'm like, okay, if you're gonna die and I like if I don't get you and you're gonna die, then I'll bring you in. And it's not rescuing the cutest puppies that you see. Like it's being able to say no when you can. And same with cats and like, yeah. So being able to kind of put that boundary in place, because when I first started the shelter, I would be like, oh, you're coming home. You're coming home. Like, and I wanted to save them all. And then I realized I couldn't, and I don't have the financial means to do it. So I do get donations. But for the most part, it's self-funded. But honestly, I'm living the dream. I'm really lucky. I know I am. I just want to keep living like this.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.